So firstly, some programs that are resuming with the end of the holiday season. So Guruji's online study group resumes Tuesday the 2nd of February. And we have Shiva Process Privates that are available with a trained facilitator. And most exciting, Shiva Process training is starting for the year. So if you want to learn how to shift those pesky feelings when they arise and return to a state of peace, check it out. There's level one and level two available online via Zoom. And to find out more about any of these programs, you can email info@theashram.com.au or check out the website.
So I want to welcome you, as I always do, by quoting my guru, Swami Muktananda, who always began his talks by saying in Hindi, Sabko bade samman ke saath prem se hardik swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he would always say that the essence of spirituality was to welcome another person with love. Welcome yourself with love, which is possibly the hardest one, and then welcome everyone else with love. And if you can do that, you've conquered the spiritual journey. So in that spirit, I want to welcome you. And it's just great to have, this is the first satsang with a lot of outsiders here. Mostly it's been online for the last 9 months, and I'm not complaining about it because we've done a great job here in Australia. But it's wonderful to have living people here. And, you know, there's an aphorism in... Well, aside from the ashramites. The ashramites are a special category. They are both people and living. But there's an aphorism in the Shiva Sutras, Lokananda Samadhi Sukham, which is one of Baba's favorite sutras in Kashmir Shaivism, which means, one translation is, the bliss of people is the bliss of samadhi. That human beings carry that bliss of the self, usually hidden away in them, but it's very much there. And when I see all these shining faces, it's wonderful. Which doesn't mean, oh, you in Radio Land, that we don't love you and appreciate your being there. So I'll say hello to you later. So welcome. Okay, so tonight I'm doing the program called Notes from the Tea Shop. Notes from the Tea Shop is based on the fact that when I was with Baba in India, see, we're in this groove of 50-year celebration. I remember those days very well. In the, outside the ashram, there was a tea shop. And after lunch, I would go, I'd have to take a rest, and then I'd go for a cup of chai, a cup of tea, at the tea shop just outside the door of the ashram. And I would then think deep thoughts about what the heck I was doing. And so these notes from the tea shop, not from those days, but kind of jottings about thoughts about spirituality and so on. Notes from the tea shop. Maestro, do we have a photo? I was explained before, this is photoshopped. that's the crew, though, in the tea shop, and that's the tea shop. I'm superimposed in it. So some of those are the people that were doing sadhana there. Usually a time just after work period or just before work period. Okay. So some notes from the tea shop. Note 221. This is called The Sprouting of a Humber Masmi. If you read Nisargadatta Maharaj, you'll see that he talks about the sprouting of a Humber Masmi. And so the note says that a sprouting of a Humber Masmi is a jnani's way of talking about Shaktipat. See, there's Shaktipat in the tradition of wisdom. Jnani means a person pursues the path of wisdom. And usually in our tradition, we talk about Shaktipat, the awakening of the inner energy, of the Kundalini energy. And they don't talk about it in other traditions. It exists there. They have a different language for it. So in the tradition of Jnana or Vedanta, it's the sprouting of Aham Brahmasmi. What that means is that Aham Brahmasmi is a great statement from the Upanishads that means I am Brahman. It's an equal sign between you and the Absolute. It's telling you, you are that Absolute Consciousness, and it tells you to meditate on that until you understand that fully. And normally that's just an intellectual principle, and you think, I am Brahman, what does that mean? I am Brahmasmi. I am the Absolute. But when it starts to sprout, it takes wings. It starts to have deep meaning. It starts to take you deep inside into meditative states. This is the sprouting of it. It awakens, and it awakens the knowledge of Brahman. So this is the sprouting of Aham Brahmasmi. And it happens here, too, that in the cases of some people, their Shaktipat won't necessarily be lots of electricity running through them or physical movements, but it will be suddenly a kindling of this higher knowledge, this higher wisdom. It will become alive. Next, number 53. This is called Patanjali meditation. You know, that Patanjali is the authority on yoga and meditation. He wrote a series of very short aphorisms which encompass the whole field of meditation and all matters related to that. And the most famous of his remarks is the first one, actually the second one, which says, Yogas Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Meditation or yoga is to still the thought waves of the mind, to still the thought waves of the mind. And so the goal in meditation, viewed from one angle, is to quiet the mind, to still the thought waves of the mind. And a lot of people have immense trouble when they first start to meditate. They discover something, that their mind is chattering a million miles a second. It's going on and on. And then when they try to discipline it, control it, it fights them, bites back, and they're in death struggle. So this is a way of dealing with this, stifling or controlling the thought waves of the mind. And this is one way. Don't look at whether thoughts come up. Just keep making the effort to still the mind. This is an approach to it. The problem we have is when we try to still it, and then we notice that other thoughts are creeping in. Over here, they come in the back door. They come here. We're controlling it here. Come in this way when we're not conscious of it. So it's don't worry about that. Do not worry about whether thoughts are arising. Just keep making the effort. Whatever your effort is to still it, it's valid. Just keep making that effort. Let there be a consistent flow of effort. Don't worry if thoughts manifest. Concentrate on the effort, the intentionality to quiet the mind. Don't worry about the success of it. If you concentrate on that, you'll have success. Should we try that for a moment? Just for a moment. Whatever way you want to, whatever way your intuition or your training tells you, silence the mind right now. Stop the mind, quiet the mind. And if you can't do it, don't worry about it. Keep making the effort. Get me? Just make the effort, let the mind run, doesn't matter. Just keep the steady flow of effort. We'll just do that for 20 or 30 seconds. Okay, let's open our eyes. So some of you might find that really helpful. If you don't anyway, if some of these don't work for you, forget them. I didn't tell them to you. Nobody said anything. Just don't pay any attention. Only if it works for you. This understanding really revolutionized my understanding of Patanjali and Raja Yoga. Number 54, are you ready for this one? Prayer instructions. Prayer is great. Prayer is a dialogue, a discussion with God, or if you prefer, the Absolute, or Brahman, or Shiva, or consciousness, or a higher power. So the prayer instructions are two. Ask for what you want, and accept what you get. Damn! Okay. Number 157. This is called matrika. Matrika refers to the matrix of language that we live in. Everything's languaging. Internal language, external language, everything is ideas, a web. We live in a web of thoughts and ideas. So the note says, first point, each word is a vessel of energy. It's meaning, yes, it's a vessel of energy. A word like a mantra is an upward shift of energy. And a negative thought, a negative mood, is a downward shift of energy. So language is all about energies. And if we learn to use language properly, we increase our energy. We enhance our energy. We uplift our inner being. If our language is upward moving, positive, spiritual, full of light, if our language is full of negativity, self-concern, tearing thoughts, self-hatred, it brings us down. So language has to be respected a lot. It's matrika. So every word is a vessel of energy. Be very careful what you think, what you speak, because it's a vessel of energy. Next one. Number 137. Shiva process, which is the form of inquiry we do here. Just one line here. Talking is a martial art. So talking is a martial art. Think of it that way. It's a matter of discipline, it's a matter of energy, and it's a matter of flow. And just as in martial arts you work with the energies of the one you're having a discussion with, and energy can be blocked or it can flow. So in conversation, energy flows or it's blocked. And study that, examine that, and see if you can unblock it. 35, therapy versus Shiva process. One of my hobby horses, so you'll have to excuse me. If I could Twitter, I would tweet this instead of telling you about it. Tweetering is a martial art, too.
Not tweeting.
You say tweeting? Not tweeting. To tweet or not to tweet. To not tweet is sweet. Therapy versus, is this what I'm, yes. I couldn't help it. Therapy versus, therapy is person-centered. Therapy is to help the person. Shiva process is person-centered also, but is essentially consciousness-centered. It's to learn the rules of consciousness, the expansion and contraction of consciousness. As a side effect, the person is also uplifted. But if we learn the rules of consciousness, as I said, every word holds energy. And so if we learn those rules, we uplift our lives. We're brought down because secretly inside of our head, inside of our head and our heart, negative thoughts are going on. Self-hatred. I'm no good. I'm not good enough. I don't have this. I don't have that. And this is sucking our lifeblood from us. Next one, 39. Aspirin. An aspirin is not true or false. Fake aspirin. But sometimes useful and sometimes not, right? Sometimes aspirin's useful and sometimes not. I should have said, what is it? What do they use?
What?
What is the... Not ibuprofen, the other one. Panadol. I should have said Panadol. I could probably get become a influencer in Panadol.
Panadol doesn't work for you.
No, it doesn't. It works wonderfully well. An aspirin is not true or false, but sometimes useful and sometimes not. So too with spiritual teachings. Useful spiritual teachings create no second force, no argument in you. So like an aspirin, if a spiritual teaching does the job, accept it. If not, don't argue with it. There are a million other ones. Now, why do you argue with it? Somebody says, the world is an illusion. You hear it and you're uplifted. You go into samadhi. Another person hears it and says, I hate that. I want to argue with it. Don't do that. Just look for another one. So the next person says, the world is consciousness. It's a play of consciousness. You say, ah, I like that. That soothes and uplifts my being. So remember aspirin. Number 60. How are we doing? Okay? This one's called... And also, because a lot of people mentioned that in the retreat, I did a couple of these, and so I'm going to reprise them at the end. This one's called Three Aspects of Anything. In any enterprise, there are three aspects. The practical... That's the doing part. The emotional, that is the feeling part. And the spiritual, that is the goals and the meaning of anything. And that corresponds to the vital, the peculiar, and the solid. The vital or the doing, the peculiar, the feeling, and the solid, the meaning of it. Or in if you're a student of Shaivism, Kriya, Icha, and Jnana, the three Shaktis. So therefore, ask yourself, what is the action, what is the feeling, and what is the meaning or purpose of it? And you can ask also, what is my life, what actions are my life doing, what is the feeling of my life, and what is the purpose of my life? And of course, the highest purpose, Baba would say, is to know the self, to know the truth. Number 61, consciousness, the universal solvent. This is an important one. I'm a great devotee of consciousness. I'm a devotee of two things, the guru and of consciousness. So, first point, by staying present to a bad feeling, you hold it in consciousness. Suppose you have a bad feeling, and you don't know how to get rid of it. The default position is to just be with it, sit with it. Then you're holding it in your awareness. And consciousness is the universal solvent. Everything melts eventually into consciousness. If you can hold it there, you can hold it, you'll overcome it eventually. Consciousness is the universal solvent. Keeping the feeling in consciousness will relax it and change it. That's the way I always approach it in meditation. I would try to shift a feeling. If I couldn't do it, the default position was to just be with it. Sit with it, watch it from a distance, hold it, be with it. Let consciousness reveal what was going on there. So this is the default practice. In yoga, this is called tatiksha, being able to stand difficulty, just to hold it. Keats called this negative capability, the ability to be in kind of a contradictory state, to be halfway between, in a state that doesn't make any sense, and just be there. You know, when you think about it, our lives are always in some halfway between state. Are you ever at your final goal of whatever you're looking for? Have you attained it? Usually we work and work and we attain it for a second, then we're on to the next thing we're not attaining. So life is always like that. And Sai Baba Shirdi said there should be, his two statements are Shraddha and Saburi. Shraddha is faith, and Saburi is like patience and doggedness. So it means just holding that, hold it in consciousness. How are we doing? Yeah, you still with me? Yeah. I'm going to skip that one, do that next time. I'll just review the ones from the intensive. I did one on beingness, number 347. I'm trying to get to 365, and then it'll be a book, one a day. What is beingness? Next point. Beingness is the resultant of the thought and emotion of a person. So what is your beingness? It's based on your thought and your emotion. And I got the first seed of this thought, well, I got it from Gurdjieff in one case, and also from Werner Erhard at the EST, the landmark training. Because I remember him standing with somebody and say, somebody was having some kind of emotional fit. He said, what are you being right now? What are you being? He was a very cruel guy, Werner, or maybe very honest. So what are you being? And I like to think that. I like to think, what am I being right now? What am I being? It's a question to ask. Am I being the person who has a tantrum now? I'm being the person that's sulking, so I'm being sulking now. I'm being fearful now, I'm being fear. I'm being angry. What am I being? It's my beingness, my thought and feeling. The highest level of beingness is the resultant of strong thoughts and strong emotions. What is that? Spirituality, altruism, nobility of mind and spirit, connectedness. That's the highest beingness. So we see a great being, Bhagwan Nityananda, Baba Muktananda, great beings. They reflected beautiful feeling and beautiful thought. The lowest level of beingness consists of ignorant thoughts and negative emotions, hatred, selfishness, darkness. We know many examples of that. A weak being brings suffering. It's because our being is weak that we suffer and we make others suffer. It's the weakness of being. If we learn to strengthen our beingness, then our happiness increases and our closeness to God increases. Whoops. Yep. God is calling. Okay. No, we forgot to say, turn off your phones. Yeah. Okay.
Been offline, online for so long.
What? Yeah, okay. Turn off your phones now. 1 hour will accept, 2 no. So beingness should be strong, not weak. Should be insightful, intelligent, not dull and stupid. We should be loving, peaceful, and contented, not angry, self-hating, discontented, and fearful. Generous, not selfish. This is beingness. So then, this is the one that everybody asked me about after, so I'm going to do again, is called building beingness. How do you build your beingness? And one can build one's being by the following practices and avoidances. Of course, there are any number of practices and avoidances, but these are within the realm of what we do here. Julia said, Brahmani said, that Baba told me, be content with what you have. Find the contentment that already exists. Even if you want to achieve a goal, on the way to the goal, be content. Be content even while you're moving towards something. Because contentment is not a condition caused by any external thing. Contentment is a place within us. So we have to find that place. So be content with what you have. Next point, avoid complaining. Controlling the expression, the shakti leaks out of this organ here, the tongue. Tongue is a terrible depleter of energy, shakti. So avoid complaining. That takes a whole... I remember there was a thing that they used to wear a bracelet, and every time they complained, wasn't that? They would change the hand or something?
Yeah.
Was that what they did?
Yeah.
It's really good. It's a great discipline is not to complain. It strengthens the being. Next one, fight tearing thoughts. This is number one on my hit parade. Tearing thoughts are the thoughts, our own thoughts that attack us. We're very concerned about our enemies who attack us and say bad things behind our back, right? But we say bad things right to ourselves. I'm no good, I'm worthless, I can't do this. We say it all the time. These are the worst enemy to our inner space. They destroy our beingness, or they destroy our joy. We have to fight them. First we have to see the tearing thoughts, and then we have to fight them. Hint, whenever you feel a negative emotion, it's a great likelihood that tearing thoughts are there. You may not hear them, but if you look, you'll find them. Fight tearing thoughts. Next, avoid defensiveness. Don't automatically defend against everything. Somebody says something, doesn't mean they're attacking you. And even if they are, it doesn't matter. Next, externally consider. Speak to people where they're at. Try to understand where a person is at and speak to them. Baba was the great teacher of this. He spoke to every person where they were at. And because of that, there was a communication of great love. And avoid the other side of that. That's a term by Gurdjieff, externally consider. And avoid, he said, never internally consider, which is, well, the main kind of internal considering is worrying about what other people think of you. Some people spend their whole lives brooding about what other people think of them, which is so painful and ridiculous. And it's a tendency that we have. We should just give it up and instead shine like the sun. Sun doesn't internally consider. Sun doesn't think those other stars and other galaxies are putting me down. Doesn't think like that, just shines. Reach out rather than recoil. Move towards fearlessly. Speak the truth and don't get angry. Pay attention to your inner state and cultivate the upward shift. This is Shiva process. Be aware of your beingness in every moment. What state are you in? And cultivate the movement towards wholeness. We have a lot more control than we give ourselves credit for. We're not at the mercy of other people and external events. We can control our inner psychic space. So pay attention to it and then cultivate the upward shift. And in doing that, you practice bhavana rakho. If there was one phrase that summed up the essence of Shiva process sadhana and of the sadhana that we do here, it's Bhagavan Nityananda's statement, bhavana rakho, keep the feeling. It means keep the feeling and also make the feeling. If you're in a good state, keep it, stay there. If you're not in a good state, make it. Get back to it. Let that state be your guide. That state of beingness. That's your guru, that's your teacher, that's yourself. Make that your goal. Bhavana rakho, hold the feeling. Hold the feeling. You can be in a great state and somebody says one negative thing and you lose it, like a balloon getting punctured. So, if that happens, get it back. Remember the self and remember the guru. And don't get separate from the self or the guru. Love everyone and hate no one. You can beat them up if they need beating, but don't hate them. Speak kind words. And find a kind way to say what you need to say. Pay attention to how it comes out. That's external considering. And always remember the welcome that Baba gives, the subko. Welcome everyone with love. Be in that state of welcoming the world. It's remarkable how much the world reflects our attitude. I would say it's 100%. But the world gives us back what we create. And finally, two things. Repeat the mantra. The mantra of our lineage, Om Namah Shivaya, is a great tool. And it's a great way of quieting the mind, centering the mind, calming the mind. So repeat that mantra. When I was in a state of great stress during my days in the ashram with Baba, I couldn't control my mind. Baba came up to me and told me to recite that mantra 24 hours a day. And in a couple of days, I couldn't quite do it 24 hours, but I mightily tore into it. And in a couple of days, my whole beingness was shifted. And finally, this is the final one in the context of the retreat. I told about how Baba once told me, say, I am the self. And this became the great statement that guided my practice. I am the self in the mantra. He said, always think I am the self, not that I am a beggar or a king. Don't get inflated, don't get deflated. But remember that divinity is within me. I am the self, I am the conscious self. I am full of love, I am full of peace. It's in there. Even when I'm agitated, peace is in there somewhere. Even when I feel angry and hateful, love is in there somewhere. Even when I'm totally crazy, peace is in there. And so I am that self. So contemplate, I am the self. The self being the clear space of good feeling within everyone. You at your best, that's the self. I am the self. Keep contemplating that. So that's how you build beingness. And the best way to build beingness is through meditation. And so let's meditate for 10 minutes. And it's really just wonderful to have so many people back in the room live. And it makes you think about what an extraordinary and difficult time the last year has been. And it's certainly not over. All over the world, people are suffering and dying from this disease. And in some ways, we're close to solving that problem, but we haven't gotten it yet. There's still tremendous pain. We're very fortunate here in Australia that it's been minimal, that because of the discipline involved, it's been minimal. But spare a thought for everyone, and let's hope that in the next few months we make great strides in that. Now let's meditate now for 10 minutes. And 10 minutes in this meditation, go deep into your own beingness. And what was there in the Buddha was a person of great serenity, great wisdom. He was totally connected to his true being. What's there in Ramana Maharshi, the great sage, radiant with love and with wisdom. In Bhagwan Nityananda, in Baba Muktananda, Sri Ramakrishna, all the great beings, Jesus. What they all had in common, not one thing is lacking in you. It's not that they had a special device, a special app for great beingness. You wouldn't want it because it costs $1.99. Not a free app. It costs 12 years of sadhana, but that app is within you. It's within you. So go inside and find that, that place of love, the place of strength, place of peace, however you construe it. It's there inside you. You have to separate the thoughts, dive below the thoughts, the swirling emotions, the negativity, the lack of self-beliefs, dive deeper and deeper and find that place, that sweet spot. You've experienced it in your life, this occasion and that occasion. You only could experience it because it was potentially there. And it's also potentially there in this moment. So we'll meditate now, and once again, with great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And we'll meditate for 10 minutes. Sat Gurunat Maharaj Ki Jai.
Hi, everyone. If you enjoyed this podcast, why not check out Swamiji's latest book, Ganesh Pridays, Memoirs of a Western Yogi. It's about the time he spent in India with his guru, Baba Muktananda, in the 1970s, and it's a great read. To get a copy, go to ganeshpridays.com. That's ganeshpuri, days.com. Wherever you are in the world, you can get the book on Kindle or printed in your own country.